In a small town, Columns Neal, Texas, with population of around 550, a couple by the name of Nathan and Crystal, as well as their daughter Maddie, were on their way to church. Nathan, Crystal, and Maddie went out to their Saturday service, and then afterwards, Nathan and Crystal decided to walk outside while Maddie stayed inside. But when the couple walked outside, that's when churchgoers from the inside of the church would then hear loud pops and screaming coming from outside. It was then that the church staff ran to the doors, shut and locked all of them while they called the police, and took everyone away from the doors as they sought safety. Located about northeast of Houston in a town called Columns Neal, Texas, which was a very small town with only a population of 550 people. Now, I know that there's a lot of stories where it starts just like this. Oh, it's a small town where everyone knows everyone, but this town, literally everyone knew everyone. With only 550 people living there, if someone didn't know you personally, they definitely knew a relative of yours. It was a place that no one really stayed to live in. It was more just a place that people drove through just to get to somewhere else. And in this town was located the town's main church, Mount Carmel Baptist Church. And on January 14th, 2014, 35-year-old Nathan Maddox and his wife, 31-year-old Crystal Maddox Salava, was attending service that Saturday morning with Nathan's 5-year-old daughter, Madison. Madison was actually Nathan's daughter from a previous relationship that he had with a woman named Kristen Westfall. Nathan and Crystal got married back in 2013 and had been married for about a year so far. Nathan worked at Lufkin Industries that sold measuring tapes, while Crystal owned a small clothing business called All That Sparkles and even had her own boutique called Shabby Sheep Peak Boutique. Crystal also did photography on the side and was very active in the local beauty pageants. Crystal was very creative, and like Nathan, she had kids of her own, and she had 4 kids, all from a previous relationship. Crystal, as a teenager, was always very creative and didn't want to go to college because her plan was always to become a mother. She had dreamed of becoming a mother, and so a few months after she graduated high school, that's when she would marry her high school sweetheart and grow pregnant with her first child. Then 3 months after the birth of her first child, she then had her second. In 2009, Kristen and her husband at this point had 4 kids, but they decided to separate. And when they did, Crystal took the kids with her. And that's when Crystal took her and her 4 kids and moved to Columns Neal, Texas to start new. And from her social media, she posted a lot of her children. Crystal absolutely loved her kids and loved being a mother. She would love getting her little girls dressed up in costumes and have them perform plays. She was also very crafty, and so she was always making her kids' Halloween costumes or regular clothes that they wanted. And even for the local beauty pageants, she did the hair and makeup and even made the gowns. And then that's when she would later open up her own clothing stores to sell more of her crafts and clothing. And it wasn't until 2011 at a local event when Crystal would bump into Nathan, and both of them had ironically went to the same high school, and so it was sort of like a reunion. Shortly after they met, that's when they started going out, and Crystal slowly started to introduce Nathan to her kids. Now, this was very stressful for Crystal because introducing Nathan to her kids, introducing your kids to a new partner of yours is like introducing a new partner to your parents when you're a teenager. You're completely on edge, you're looking for approval, you're observing from a distance, and it was a very big deal breaker for Crystal because, as I said, she loved her kids, so if her kids didn't love Nathan, that would make her not love Nathan as well. But Nathan absolutely loved her kids, and her kids loved him. Nathan was very hands-on with all of her kids. He took them out to places and spent quality time with them even though he didn't have to. It was a dream come true for Crystal because Nathan was a great father who was always there for her kids and for Crystal. Now, as I said, Nathan already had a child of his own, a 5-year-old named Madison. Nathan had Madison, aka Maddie, with his ex-wife, Kristen. Nathan and Kristen had met and got married in Texas before having their own child and getting a home. Nathan and Kristen had been together for about 8 years when they got their own home, but owning a home is expensive. So Nathan decided to take a job out in Montana and would frequently send money back to Texas for his family. And for the most part, he thought things were fine between him and Kristen until one day he came home to find the entire house empty and a note on the kitchen table. The note was from Kristen, and Kristen was basically saying things like, I know you've left Nathan and I don't know when you'll be back or even where you are, but that's not my problem. Mind you, Kristen fully knew where he was. She knew that he was in Montana. She knew that he worked out there and that he lived out there. Nathan would even call Kristen every single day and even send her money every single day to support his family. But as you will see going on in the story, Kristen tends to make no sense very often. And in that note, she said that she had run away with their daughter Madison, and she has refused to let Madison see him. And she also included a document, which was a constructive abandonment order. And now, if you guys don't know what a constructive abandonment order is, it's basically when someone leaves because the other party created an unbearable living environment. So essentially, it is constructive when the party is justified in its leaving. And this could be due to things like emotional abuse, physical abuse, or an entirely unsafe environment. And so because of this order, he genuinely wasn't allowed to see his children. Obviously, Nathan immediately tries to call and text Kristen. He's wondering what's going on. And that's when Kristen would send Nathan a text saying, quote, "There really is nothing left between us. We have both changed and we both miss the person who we married. Too much has happened and I don't see that person in you anymore. I can't remember how it felt to be happy." Now, Nathan absolutely loved his daughter and he was completely blindsided by everything that was going on, and his main goal was to just get Madison back. Nathan immediately went to the police, and when the police examined the situation, they had the abandonment order lifted and he was finally able to see his daughter again. He found out that Maddie had been living with Kristen and her parents, Paul and Letha, as well as Kristen's younger brother, Cameron. After this, Nathan was given visitation rights to Maddie, and this was around the time where Nathan and Crystal began seeing each other. Over time, when Crystal and Nathan started dating, that's when Maddie met Crystal, and Maddie absolutely loved Crystal. As I said, Crystal was creative. She loved to make fun dresses. She did hair and makeup, and this was something that Maddie was really interested in. And so this is something they bonded over, and in return, this bond between Crystal and Maddie made Kristen and her parents, Letha and Paul, very angry. And then in June of 2012, Kristen attempted at filing for full custody of Maddie, and so she basically wanted to take all visitation rights away from Nathan. It kind of seemed as if Kristen was trying to hurt Nathan by leaving him and taking Maddie away from him. But when Nathan went to the police and the police saw that there was nothing wrong and he got visitation, Kristen was already mad that he was able to spend time with his child again. But shortly after, when Nathan got a new girlfriend who was Crystal, Nathan also had more kids because Crystal had 4 kids. Nathan also got a new job so he didn't have to work in Montana anymore and he could be home more often with Crystal and all of his kids. It seemed like overall Nathan was doing a lot better and happier without Kristen in his life, and this was the opposite of what Kristen wanted to happen, and so she just grew more furious and jealous that he wasn't struggling in the same way that she had hoped. So this unfortunately would be the start of a long and hard custody battle, but Kristen was clearly not fit to be a mother at the time. In 2013, Kristen was actually arrested after being caught with possession of meth, and unfortunately, it wasn't even her first time being caught with this. Kristen had been arrested multiple times before for possession of weed and possession of coke. In 2019, at this point, Nathan and Kristen were in a back and forth custody battle between Maddie, but it was in 2019 that Kristen's parents, Letha and Paul, ended up trying to get into the custody battle, and they eventually won full custody of Maddie, to which they refused both Kristen and Nathan to see her. Crystal, I know it can get kind of confusing, Kristen and Crystal, but Crystal, who is Nathan's new wife, she was not having this. She was going to stick up for Maddie and Nathan because she knew that Kristen could not do this to Nathan. She couldn't do this to Maddie. Maddie had created such a close relationship with Crystal's other 4 kids as well, and so this was also affecting Maddie. So Crystal went to Letha and Paul's house demanding that they see Maddie for Nathan's scheduled Thursday visits. But unfortunately, even though Crystal demanded to see Maddie, legally they didn't have to give her to them. And unfortunately, Crystal and Nathan couldn't do much because custody battles are hard, but they're also very costly. Nathan and Crystal were doing all they could to raise raise more money, selling all their belongings, working extra shifts. Crystal even picked up a few more jobs to try to pay for the legal fees. And in the end, Crystal and Nathan went through the whole process and ended up getting visitation rights. Now, it wasn't full custody, but it was a start. And so before, Nathan would have visitation rights, but it was always having to be supervised by a CPS worker. And Nathan's last visitation with Maddie, where he had to be supervised, would take place at the Mount Carmel Baptist Church. And on January 14th, 2014, a 911 call would come in from the Baptist Church. This call was made by a churchgoer pleading to get help directed at the Baptist Church, saying that there had been a shooting. And when the police showed up to the scene, they would find lying on the ground the lifeless bodies of Nathan and Crystal Maddox, both shot to death. Both of them had been shot execution style to the head and died immediately. Maddie had been thankfully inside the church at the time, so she didn't see or hear much besides the loud pops. But what's most odd about this is that the 911 call was actually made by Letha. Letha was inside of the church with Maddie and a person from Child Services who was overseeing the visitation. As I said, Crystal and Nathan always had to have some sort of Child Services workers overseeing their visits, and this time around, Letha decided to tag along. But when Crystal and Nathan had stepped outside for a few moments, that is when they were both shot in the head, and the church staff immediately shut and locked all the doors. When police showed up to the scene, a .30-30 shell casing was found, and they knew the gun that was used, although it was a very common rifle. They know that this was most definitely a targeted killing, and at the autopsy, they found that Nathan and Crystal had been shot in the head, but Nathan was also shot in the chest with a shotgun, which was a completely other gun, which assumed that there was two people completing this crime and not one. After the shooting, that's when Paul, Kristen, and Cameron were contacted about what had happened. Paul was actually so shocked by the news that he drove himself into a seizure and needed to be sent to the hospital. As far as interrogations, Kristen was the first one to be interrogated, and in her interview, she seemed very calm. Her voice and demeanor was very normal, as if she didn't find out that her ex-husband of 8 years had been brutally murdered and she'd obviously be a main suspect. Kristen would go on to say in her interrogation, quote, "Yes, me and Nathan have had this issue with custody battles. We've had our disagreements, but the fact remains that I was married or with him for 8 years. Of course, I still have love in my heart for Nathan." And then that's when the interrogator replies, quote, "Can you think of anybody that would want to hurt Nathan?" And Kristen replies with, quote, "The motorcycle gang drove up at his mom's house and he was scared to death. They told him that if he ever told him about something, that they would kill him." Kristen, after this, goes on to say that Nathan had a brutal past in Montana, where he was involved in lots of motorcycle gangs, and that was a main reason why she had to leave. She went on to tell a story about how this motorcycle gang had showed up to Nathan's mom's house, threatening to kill Nathan's mom because Nathan was going to reveal something that he saw the gang do. And so she kind of assumes that maybe this was just someone in the motorcycle gang that could have done this. At the time of the shooting, Kristen goes on to say that she was at a shopping mall with her father that morning, and on security footage at 10:57 a.m., Kristen, as well as her father Paul, are seen walking around a local grocery store about a few miles away from the church. Paul was also questioned and gave the same exact story as Kristen, and was even tested for gunshot residue, which came back inconclusive. Now, although this evidence is odd, Paula and Letha's reactions are even odder. Crystal had gone to the house of Letha and Paul because they had claimed full custody over Madison and wasn't letting Kristen, Crystal, or Nathan see her. And Crystal actually filmed her interaction when she went to Letha and Paul's house to try to get Maddie. And during that interaction, you can clearly see Letha and Paul yelling and screaming at both Crystal and Nathan. They had also gotten into many fights and arguments over time about custody battles and in court, and so Paul and Letha didn't really have a good relationship with Crystal or Nathan. I mean, Paul and Letha were not letting Nathan see his own child, and if they genuinely thought Nathan was a good guy and a good parent, why wouldn't they let him see Madison? It was very obvious that both Paul and Letha didn't like him to begin with, and so if a guy that you already didn't like suddenly passed away of a gunshot wound along with his wife, whom you also didn't like, why the big over-the-top reaction? Why was Paul so shocked that he drove himself into a seizure and he had to be hospitalized? And even Letha as well. Letha was said to be in the church hysterical when she heard the gunshots. She was shaking and crying and freaking out, and she was holding Madison close to her. And even when she was trying to give a statement to the police, she barely could speak to them because she was so overwhelmed with emotions. So although they had no concrete evidence, they did suspect that something else was going on. So that's when Child Protective Services went to the home and took Maddie away from the house, saying that since the killers were still out there and unidentified, and the family were main suspects, they didn't feel it to be safe for Madison to be there. So this obviously sent Paul, Letha, and Kristen into a rage. But CPS straight up told them that you're not getting Maddie back because you're all main suspects. CPS even searched the home and found a gun that was easily accessible, something that Maddie could have just went over and picked up. They went to the backyard where they found a backyard covered in feces, as if they had multiple dogs and animals and never picked up after them, which is a very unsafe environment for Maddie, who could be running outside and could catch some sort of illness. They also began looking around in the bedrooms, and they found a bag of meth literally just laying around. And apparently, according to Letha, the meth wasn't there for Kristen. It was actually there because it was being used as blackmail. If Kristen ever threatened to leave and take Maddie with, Letha could just say that she found meth in the home and give it to the cops. And since Kristen had been arrested for it in the past, Kristen would just go to jail and Maddie would stay with Paul and Letha. And then the following month, in February of 2014, that's when Letha was finally arrested. Letha was arrested from her home for possession of a controlled substance by fraud. Once Letha was arrested, that's when a friend of the Westfall family named Christopher Eves walked into the station and asked to speak with the sheriff. Chris would go on to say that he went over to Kristen's home, and the father, Paul, would do nothing but talk terribly about Crystal and Nathan. He would always say things like, if they come over here one more time and take that baby, I'm killing the both of them. Paul would also make remarks saying that he might just have someone kill them for him. So then after this, Kristen, Letha, Paul, and Cameron were arrested, to which Paul went into another seizure during his arrest. Once all the family members were arrested, Cameron was the first to be interviewed, and he said that he could never do anything like that to Nathan because, quote, Nathan was like a brother to me. After this, Kristen was interviewed, to which she said, quote, I wouldn't kill for him to not see his daughter. Letha was also questioned, to which she said, quote, I literally have not had a conversation with somebody saying, will you murder Crystal and Nathan? And then after Paul was released from the hospital, that's when he was questioned as well, to which he said, how could he have killed them if he was at the house? And so he maintained his innocence the entire time. He said that he was at the store with Kristen, and then after the store, the both of them just went home. So obviously, all of them aren't going to confess. All of them are going to put up a fight. And although the police looked like they had no sort of evidence, they did indeed arrest four people. They now have with them four people who all know something, and so all they needed was one out of the four people to crack a window, so to speak, so that they could get a better view of what was going on in the inside. And that crack was Paul. Paul, after a couple hours in interrogation, told police that he was the one that killed Nathan, and since there were two guns used, there was, of course, a second person involved, and that second person was Kristen. After Paul's confession, Letha was told of Paul's confession, and she said, that's crazy you say that, because on the day of the shooting, she actually heard Paul yelling from outside of the church, still trying to maintain her innocence. Letha said Paul made threats in the past, saying that he was going gonna kill them if they came back for Maddie, but she never took it seriously because she never thought that Paul or Kristen would be capable of doing something like this. Cameron was also made aware of Paul's confession, and he also started to open up a little bit. Cameron says that he heard Paul and Kristen planning on killing them. He says that he even heard Kristen say that she didn't want to write anything down on paper because she didn't want to, quote, leave a paper trail. Cameron also says that after the murder, Paul had come home and instructed him to dispose of the guns. And that is when Cameron would reveal the real story of what happened on January 14th, 2014. On that Saturday, Nathan, Crystal, and Maddie went to church, and this was going to be Nathan's last supervised visit. He had to be surveillanced by a CPS worker just to make sure that everything was going fine and running smoothly. After this day, though, as I said, the couple had saved up a bunch of money and finally won visitation rights. And so this was their last visit with surveillance. And then after this visit, Nathan could visit Maddie without anyone being there. But on this specific day, for some reason, Letha wanted to tag along for this visit to church. After the police looked through the family's phones, that is when they saw that Letha had sent a text message when they arrived to church saying, quote, they are here. 2 hours later, Kristen would send a text to her mom saying, quote, get in place. Crystal and Nathan, after this text was sent, would walk outside, Crystal going first, and she was immediately shot in the head. Nathan then ran after Crystal, and in doing so, he was first shot in the chest with a shotgun and then in the head. And apparently, the family had been planning this murder for months. They found texts on Letha, Paul, and Kristen's phones. They had sent text messages to other family members and friends asking if they would execute Nathan and Crystal and be willing to pay them money to do it. Even Chris, the guy who came in earlier and said that every time he went over to the home, Paul was constantly saying how he was going to kill Nathan and Crystal, even Chris himself had been approached by the family to be a hitman for them, to which obviously he said no. And so since the family had hit all of these dead ends, they just decided to do it themselves. At the trial, Cameron was given a deal. If he cooperated with police and answered questions truthfully, he would only be charged with 2 counts of tampering with evidence. So Cameron decided to accept the plea deal and got 10 years and even testified against his entire family. Letha later pled guilty for engaging in organized criminal acts, to which she got a life sentence in prison with possibility of parole in 30 years. Now, Letha at the time was 54 years old, so most likely she will die in prison. Paul at first was not fit to stand trial until he was, and then he wasn't again, and then he just pled guilty. To which for Paul, same as Letha, got life in prison, but he got without possibility of parole. And as for Kristen's trial, as I said, Cameron, Letha, Paul, they all know that the jig is up. They know that they have been caught, and this is just what's gonna happen. But Kristen, weirdly, denies the entire thing. Kristen still preaches innocence, and she continues to deny the entire thing. She says that she doesn't know what happened and that her family is crazy, and if they said that they did something, it's probably because they planned all of it without her. And then in August of 2016, Kristen's trial began. She was pleading not guilty to all of the charges, and even at her trial, her whole family was there to testify against her. They believe the motive of this crime was for custody over Maddie. Nathan had recently just got visitation rights, and Kristen hated that, and she also hated that she no longer had control of when Nathan was going to see Maddie, and so she killed him to make sure that he never had that choice again. The court, in the end, found Kristen guilty, and she was sentenced to life without possibility of parole. And as far as the aftermath of everything, Kristen was sentenced back in 2016, so her, Letha, and Paul, to this day, are still serving out their life sentences. Whereas Cameron was charged back in 2014, and so his 10-year sentence would be up this year in 2024, to which he is said to be released in September. And yeah, that is the end of today's case. If you guys found this case interesting, make sure to give it a thumbs up and subscribe if you are on YouTube, or if you are on Apple, Spotify, wherever you can find podcasts, make sure to rate it 5 stars because that really helps me out a lot. If you want to follow me on any of my socials, like my Instagram or Pinterest, that will be linked link down below. And yeah, I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your day today. Make sure to be safe out there. Get outside a little bit today. Go on a little hot girl walk. Stay hydrated. Drink some water. And as always, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I will see you guys next week. Bye.